is beyond your mind. But it comes into your mind when you are at peace, when the mind is quiet. But how are you going to get your mind quiet when it's filled with so many oppositions and contradictions and so forth? And you try to get your mind quiet by some sort of meditation. And all the time you might try to get your meditation, one thought after another rises, and you give it up in disgust and you say, I can't meditate at all. Really, what are you meditating upon? What are you trying to do? You try to quieten your mind, you say. But how can you quieten your mind if your mind is unruly? You've got to discern all these things in your mind until such time as you see all that is false. When you see the falseness of everything in your mind, then it will fall away from you. It requires no effort for it to fall away from you because you know it is not the truth. It is not what you are seeking. Now, if you are seeking something, you must really know what you are seeking. But the truth is beyond your mind. Therefore, you've got to clear the mind of all these contradictions until such time there is quietness and peace in the mind. And then, in that quietness and peace, comes in the livingness. That livingness that's beyond mind. A livingness that is real. I cannot explain it to you because my relative words can never explain that which is beyond the relative. But my relative words can explain the relative to you so that you can get the relative out of your mind and therefore find that which is beyond the relative. In this is the secret of all things. It is the power. It was the power of the Christ, the eternal Christ. Therefore, remember that the word truth is not truth. That the image you have in your mind about truth is not truth. That the experiences that you've had is not truth. Your memory is not truth. The future is not truth. The past is not truth. The truth is a living moment-to-moment thing that is alive and living. That's me. That's you, the real you. But how are you going to reach it? Through your mind? If your mind is all caught up in so many different contradictions, good and evil, life and death, health, ill health, success and failure, all these opposites troubling one another, all these have got to come together so that they disappear. And when they come together, they completely disappear, and what is left is reality, the oneness of everything, the reality. Good and evil, life and death, success and failure, health, ill health, these things belong to the mind. These are the things that are troubling you. The mind is full of opposites, full of contradictions. Then you try to discern them, and you try to analyze your mind, you analyze your thoughts, but immediately you see that the analysis is a false process, it will fall away from it, because it is a false process. You can never reach the truth through analysis, it's an utter impossibility. You can only reach the truth through discernment of every thought that passes in your mind now, not in the past or the future, because there is no such thing in reality. And as you begin to discern your thoughts now, then you find that these things that are false disappear. All disappear from you. Your mind becomes quiet and peaceful. The storm begins to abate. And there's a peace comes that nothing can move. That peace comes as you begin to rid your mind of the false things. Peace comes because the mind itself gives up all that is false, and then peace comes naturally, easily, without effort. Please see what I am driving at, and you will see how clearly the whole thing comes together. Names give a relative characterization to life, and few have become aware of this fact. Therefore, we will never find this createdness until we have discerned this clearly. Names and ideas and our beliefs change from day to day, but never with this eternal living creativeness, of which neither knows birth nor death. When we become aware of ourselves as the living, ever-present creative life, which alone has consciousness, there is a continual unfoldment through which we continually make adjustments as we begin to understand ourselves. Therefore, virtue is not the denial of our vice. Virtue is able to make continuous adjustments in your mind as you live from day to day. We see how our thoughts and emotions arise constantly. We begin to understand our thought, feeling, reactions. Have you ever discerned your thought, feeling, reaction? Or have you just let it pass all the time, moving continuously and reacting all the time towards things, conditions, and people? You have never discerned your thought, feeling, reaction. Because you're caught up in it, that's why you don't discern it. But if you're aware, awareness, being aware. Being aware of those things, your thought, feeling, reaction. If I came along and I told you that you were a damn fool and you were a silly ass or whatever the case may be, and you didn't understand, of course you didn't never discern your thought, feeling, reactions, you might give me a punch in the nose. But if you discerned your thought, feeling, reactions, you would see that it would fall away from you, and you would still remain calm in a state of peacefulness that will not disturb at all by what I say or anybody else said. If you then are caught up in these things, what happens to you is this: you create through your thought, feeling, reactions, a movement in the ether, which causes a movement in the atomic structure of your body, causing transformation to take place here and there. Have you ever discerned your thought, feeling, when you were indignant? Have you ever felt the roots of your hair were standing up like this, and the whole of the blood was surging to your head, and you felt goose flesh all over yourself, and you felt immensely if you had a revolver, you would shoot, or you would do this, and you would do that? Have you ever discerned your thought feelings? If you are aware, you can discern your thought feelings every moment of your life. And by discerning that which is false, you will find that which is true there. Always, because it always was there. But you will find it, you will discover it. But not that you're caught up in your thought feeling yet. That's why Jesus was never affected by anything. The mind of man cannot understand something that has no beginning and no ending. The mind can only discern that which is a relative beginning and ending, for mind of man is relative itself. But the individual that knows can say, I am the beginning and the end, I am Alpha and Omega. When the individual sees this clearly, he will see that he is also the beginning and ending of all his own creation. And when you see that you are the beginning and the ending of all your own creations, you no longer fear them. But so many people fear their thoughts. They have fears based upon these creations within their own minds. And it's so necessary to discern these creations of ours so that they have no longer any power over us. I know that's sometimes difficult, even sometimes if we try to do so. But you must persevere. You find that this awareness is the secret. It is discerning your thought, feeling, reactions all the time. That which creates is that which is behind all creation, including man, and has no beginning and no ending. All manifested substance, forms, compositions, all visible things are but the expression of this interior creativeness, and is the invisible essence within the substance, form, composition, all visible things. Just as electricity is the invisible power in an animal, so is life the invisible power within us. That creativeness that has no beginning and no ending. The thing is then, can you get behind your mind? Can you get behind your mind without creating an idea of life? Or is your truth or life to you an idea or an image of it? If it is, you haven't got it. I am trying to explain to you your relative mind and what you think, what you have in your mind. But I have got something more than that. I've got a living reality that is myself, that is a creativeness. Every thought then I can create, I know I'm aware of that creation. And I know perfectly well it's my own creation. Yet behind me, behind my mind, is this reality that I know that it is. It's a livingness, it's a truth. Not an idea or an image, because my mind is still. Then in that stillness does the truth reveal itself. I don't know what it is, because I don't even know what electricity is, but I know that it is. And I'm quite content, because I know this, that the whole relative universe will unfold before me, and all the conditions and structures and manifestations within the whole ethereal world will unfold before me. Even the functions of the great archangels, even the stars and the planets and the inherent forces within them will all unfold before me, and I shall see them all and understand them all as a relative thing, but yet this which is discerning shall always be there. And the whole universe itself will be seen before this great thing that is discerning all relative activity. That is what I have seen. I have seen behind the scenes, and I know that which sees behind the scenes is still unknowable and will still be unknowable. If I knew what it was, it would become relative. Therefore, it couldn't be infinite in nature. But I know that it is infinite in nature, and therefore it is time. When I come into the relative, I am no time and space. When I leave the relative, I am no longer no time nor space. That is truth. Yet to think about this makes it relative. Thereby we lose the awareness of it when we discern our own creations, thoughts, emotions, effects, and become aware of our own creativeness, then does the consciousness begin to know itself to be. Not in the knowing of what it is, but of becoming aware as the creativeness behind all things, great and small. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the world? I was with thee when thou laidst the foundation. There is identification, not in the relative as an idea in the mind, but as an anterior and interior identification. realizing and understanding what is behind all creation, which is the creativeness within the self. Yet only when the self has disappeared can the completeness of this invisible creativeness be realized. That is why Jesus said clearly, I of myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. Himself completely disappeared. And he shone clearly, it's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. Therefore the self had completely disappeared. There was no longer the self there. There was the Father only. Is it not so that we are caught up in our own creations and are not aware of the creativeness? That invisible force that holds our creations in substance, composition and form? When we are caught up in the created, then we react to the created, and our thought feeling is built up from our mental reactions to the external. So we are no longer aware. We become chaff that is blown about by every wind that blows. Therefore, search your own mind and see if you are caught up in the creative. Search your own minds and see if your mental makeup is entirely made up from your reactions to the external, to the creative. Or is your mental makeup, at least a portion of it, made up from the creativeness that is within? If there is a modicum within your mind made up from that creativeness within, then you have the seed. As Jesus talked about the seed of the mustard tree, the seed of faith that will grow and grow till such time as it becomes a fully grown tree. This is the most important thing in our daily existence, but few have comprehended its great significance. We must realize that the creativeness is ever present and is the only reality. The things we see, feel, touch are but the effects of this invisible cause, which is the sustaining power in every created thing. When our minds and thoughts become confused, we will know this is because we are not aware. Awareness is something that each one must find out for him herself. So is your mind confused. When you're here with me, you feel you know the truth. Why? Because I'm giving you, through my own consciousness, a feeling. And when you go outside and pass away, there is a memory of what I have said to you. And you try to recapture that. And you try to make that the truth. My song is not your song. You are just gramophones, putting your records on according to your moods. You listen to somebody else, yet you don't know your own song. But that song is within you. Therefore you must learn to be musicians and not merely gramophones, repeating what another has said. You must know your own song, hear it, and become aware of it. Science has revealed to us that there is an invisible substance which has been named the ether of space. And that invisible substance is the basis of all things visible. This substance of itself is not the cause of things visible, but an invisible intelligence that is creative within it. So therefore the ether of space is not a reality. It is something we can understand. something we can use as a means of creation. You can call it the mind of God if you like, a means of substance through which you create because your consciousness alone is creative. And that is behind ether. Otherwise you couldn't affect the ether. How could you create a disturbance in the ether if your consciousness was not behind ether? Ether itself is a means through which you create. A thought is nothing more than the electromagnetic force which is pregnated into the ether, causing magnetization of the ether, and as these etherons become active, they form according to the thought. And then, as the sound comes into operation, the sound reduces these activities in ether and becomes a physical thing. So as you can hear, see, and touch, your thought waves travel at 186,000 miles per second in the supersonic area, while sound travels at 700 miles per hour. But thought and sound can mingle together. The thought itself is the great magnetic flow that is invisible in the supersonic area, and the sound of the voice brings it into operation, and God blessed the loaves and the fishes, and they became loaves and fishes, sufficient to feed the multitude. These are not miracles. These are nothing more but the active principle of a divine law that is inherent in every human being because he's born in the image and likeness of his Creator. But because he's ignorant of these things, and because he makes an idea of reality, an idea, an image, and a belief of reality, he's no longer capable of doing those things. But Jesus came to show us the way, and he proved that what was within himself was within every other individual, because he said clearly and distinctly, he who does the will of my Father is my mother, my sister, my brother. In other words, he who can do the will of my Father is my mother, my sister, my brother. If you become aware that it is by this invisible intelligence that you create, then whatever the consciousness is aware of, so does the invisible substance become the composition, the form. Be it a thought or any other creation, yet there is but one source of creativeness, whether your thoughts are the result of external reactions or of pure thinking. Through awareness, this invisible intelligence becomes the hidden force behind all our creation. So therefore, it makes no difference. Your creations come either through pure thinking, just as the Christ, when he realized that he was one with the Father, and his words were, "It's the Spirit of the Father that doeth those things." He was then eliminating everything that was relative, and he became one with the Absolute. But if you live in the relative, you always create also in the relative. And if your reactions are according to the things external to yourself, which are your thought, feelings, reactions, undiscerned, you still create the conditions in which you surround you. But you believe that somebody else has done it for you, when all the time you did it yourself. Therefore, form comes through an interior and interior cause which is responsible for appearances. Now, appearances are what the senses respond to and are generally taken for realities. Is a memory the truth? I ask you now. Is an experience the truth? I ask you now. Is the past the truth? I ask you now. Can you reach the truth through analysis, which is false? Can you reach the truth through hope or something in the future? The truth is now. It's not in the past nor the future. The truth is not in the future. Unless you knew the truth now, tomorrow you will not know it, because tomorrow is the now. Only the consciousness that is aware can see behind appearances and there find the cause. Is it not necessary then for us to become aware of our own thought, feeling, reactions? to know the cause of our own misery or joy. This all-important truth must be realized, otherwise we will still perpetuate the misery. The stars beckon us to seek that which is beyond appearances. For herein lies the power of man, but few have grasped it and used it. I was with thee before the world wars. Man today is impotent in a world of effects. He is torn with confusion and strife which overwhelms him, and he sees no solution because he himself is the cause. What man is, so is the world. You try to rearrange the world without discerning your own thought-feeling reactions. And then you think that you can rearrange the world when you are the cause of all the conditions in the world, because you are the world. Man is not limited to the five senses, for what they reveal are but effects. The intelligence has created an instrument for its own self, expression, through which intuition and clear thinking is possible. Therefore, not depending on what others did, said, or believed in the past. If the past prevents the expression of the ever-present life and love, it must be absolutely discarded. Only that which is helpful must remain, otherwise we will perpetuate the ignorance of the past to cause more misery for ourselves and others. These words are simple to understand to the ones who are really seeking to understand. But if you have got fixed ideas and fixed beliefs in your mind, and you are not capable of making adjustments moment to moment, then you will never know what I am telling you. If you have fixed ideas, fixed beliefs, which are concrete, then I say you will never know the truth, because you're trying to see the truth through your belief, and you can never do it, because truth is never seen through a belief. It's never seen through anything except by truth itself. When we find that our troubles are created by ourselves, we will soon find the solution within ourselves. Certainly we will never find it external to ourselves. The cause is never separate from the effect. The effect can only be removed when the cause is revealed, and the self is the cause. Unless we begin to understand ourselves, our motives, our thoughts, our reactions, we will never know the real cause. Therefore, we'll continue to perpetuate the cause and the effect, for man thinks good and evil by the same power. But if you see that you can think good and evil, if you come to me and you say, so-and-so is evil, and I would say to you, no, he's not, or no, she's not, I'd be making that evil, would I not? I'd be giving that evil, even if I said she's not evil, he's not evil, or whatever the case may be, I'd be giving birth to the thought of evil, would I not? Because what would I be? I'd be denying evil if I did so. Therefore, to deny evil gives it a power it does not possess. If you came and say such is good and so is good, then if I said so and so is good and good, I would also be giving the relative a power which it does not possess. Therefore I would be living in the relative. Did you come to me? And what do I say? Quietly I listen. But I know in my own mind there is no such thing as good and evil. It only belongs to man's mind. In reality there is only and that is God. He only exists. There's no other existence but Him. If I give good and evil, even good, a substance, then I give evil a substance too. If I give good and evil and so forth, you give them a substance because you deny them, then you think because you deny them, You have disposed of them. You do nothing of the sort. Still in your mind, you keep on denying them and denying them and denying them. Why? Because you don't know the truth. You're living in the relative. If I could only take you back behind, and you can see those things as relative, having no part of their own, bringing them together, and then as you bring them together, they disappear into nothingness. And there you know the truth. I am the truth, the life. Does life know good or evil? Does electricity know good or evil? Jesus said clearly and distinctly, resist not evil. Don't give it a power it does not possess. He said the devil was the father of lies from the very beginning. Therefore the father of lies means the father of the illusion, the father of nothingness, because a lie is a nothingness, has no existence in reality, it's not a truth. And if the devil is, then God is not. And if God is, the devil cannot exist, because God is infinite in nature. And if you say that the devil does exist, then you must say that God is the devil. So God is infinite in nature. And don't you see what man's mind has done? He's created a relative, good and evil, and a devil, and a hell, and all the rest of it in his own mind. And even the prophets did that too in the past, because they were men too. Only Jesus was the man who knew the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It is this deep understanding will enable us to move onward and upward, side by side, with deep logical reasoning, which enables us to see further than those who attribute their knowledge to the limited sphere of the physical senses. When we become thoroughly aware, we will have a guidance that cannot be obtained by mere groping in the mind. We will never find the secret of the lotus flower in the mud out of which it grows. For only by understanding the spiritual cause that forever remains invisible to the senses can this be comprehended through deep, thoughtful contemplation. Are we not told in St. John that we will never understand until we comprehend the magic truth about ourselves, that we are not the blood of man, nor the will of the flesh, because it has none, nor of the will of man, but born of God? No man has ever seen God, but the Father is revealed in the Son. Jesus said, as you have seen me, you have seen the Father. It was this that Jesus revealed to us. The price he paid in revealing this great truth can never be appraised by the human mind. Only those who understand can realize the debt humanity owes him. Can never be paid except through following in his footsteps and trying to understand him and his mind. In plain words, the Master stated to us that he was the Father, and the Father was in him, and he was in the Father. And therefore he was the Father, and therefore he was God. Now, that is a truth, because there can be nothing else but God. That shakes you, does it not? But it is an absolute truth. And it was he who knew it too. It was the Father who was performing his own deeds. For when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Your Father and my Father, our Father who art in heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. What wonderful truths he was trying to show them. Yet his words were taken in the relative sense. But did they ever apply science to his words? No, of course not. They made platitudes of them, and built a religion on the platitudes of his words, without searching deep enough into the meaning of his words and his mind. Heaven is the innermost sanctuary where the Father ever remains, waiting our awareness of him. He is not an image or an idea or a belief, but our livingness. When we discern our own shortcomings, our thoughts, our emotions, our reactions, they are forgiven. No longer are they held against us to perpetuate our misery. But you always want to memorize them, your good and your evil. You try to remember both, and you think that your memory is the truth, and you think that ethics is the truth. It's going to lead you to reality, but it only leads you away from it. When we discern our own shortcomings, our thoughts, emotions, our reactions, they are forgiven. No longer are they held against us to perpetuate our misery. They fall away to nothingness where they belong. And the ever-present life, the Father comes into our daily living, expressing his divine nature. That was Jesus the Christ, the only living man that we ever know or ever will know, that give us the great truth of life and death. Brought them both together, showing here was the truth, the everlasting life of God. And the Father hath life in himself, and he grants the Son to have the same life in himself. I and the Father are one. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. The inner shall become the outer, and the outer the inner. Now this has got nothing to do with ethics, which blinds the consciousness to the truth of the ever-present life. That is ever creative. I said in my last lecture to you that if we live in the past or the future, we will never know the ever-present creative life that is all in all. Ethics is eternally caught up in the relative. Therefore, truth can never be revealed through ethics. Those whom minds are caught up in ethics can never know the warmth, the joy that can be attained through the awareness of the ever-present life and love. Ethics creates good and evil in your mind. You become double. You become living in the relative, giving power to evil and good equally, when they neither have any power at all, therefore in the mind you live. Do you understand then pure love, if you're caught them in ethics? All people who are caught up in ethics are always seeing the sinner and this evil person and all this sort of thing, despising him and kicking him, dogging him around, killing him and hanging him and all the rest of the things. Even if you hang a man, you're a murderer. Even if you think that you're murdering, hanging him for the good of humanity, you are still a murderer for hanging him. You can't escape that. You see, what society is built up on the relative. It's not built up on truth. And ethics belong to society and the relative. If you want to know the warmth of love, then I say you must know God. You must know his love, his perfectness. He's beyond good and evil. He is the expression of that which in itself is complete. I have other flocks, and I shall go and bring them, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. If any of you lose one sheep out of your flock, will you not leave the 99 and go in search of the one that is lost, and bring it back, and there rejoice that you have found it, so that the fold will be complete? So it is in the realm of heaven, says Jesus. Oh, I wish I could give you this You must find it for yourselves. It's not my song. It's your own song you must hear. And you must sing that song yourself. Yes, others can never know the warmth of joy that can be attained through the awareness of the ever-present life and love waiting to express itself through the individual that is aware. The ever-present love and wisdom is ever-present, ever-waiting to give expression through those who realize it. It is simple, unaffected, just, unkind, always loving, always generous, always forgiving. Never makes vain displays and does not boast. It is not easily provoked and thinks no evil. Never fails when put to the test, no matter in what situation. Its power lies in the fact that it is ever-present, all-knowing. It knows no opposition, and it is never antagonistic to any individual towards others. There is a calmness that nothing can move because it is all in all. There is nothing outside it, and all is within it, and it is within all. That's me. That's you. It goes beyond reason of man, but it's not subject to the reason of man. It is reality itself. It is perfect harmony, and this harmony is within all. Yet it cannot express this harmony until man has subdued the noise in himself. It is a translation of this ever-present life in our daily living that reveals what is in our hearts. And therefore, you must approach this reality with your mind still and your heart's full. Your heart's full of love, and your mind still of all oppositions and contradictions. And as you approach it in this way, then you will discover it. As I have discovered it, so you will discover it. But there is a continuous unfolding after you have discovered it. There is an infinite unfolding, the timeless unfolding. If you try to look for an end, you're looking for an illusion, you enter into illusion. If you're looking for a finality, then you're also looking for an illusion. You're living in an illusion. But there is no finality and there is no ending. And once you discover it, you will know there is no time and no space, no beginning and no ending. No finality, no end. Beyond mind alone can you find this. And your consciousness becomes aware. The secret of truth is revealed to you. No matter what happens, there is no longer any caring now. You live a careless life in the realization of the truth. The whole care is taking care of you. There's no longer need to take care of yourself, because you're being taken care of. God alone lives. It is He who is expressing Himself. It's the Father who is expressing Himself. The Father who speaketh. It's the voice of the Spirit. Spirit alone has voice. The mind has not voice, the body has no voice, the relative has no voice, only reality, the absolute, has voice. He is the Spirit that speaketh, the Father who is beside me, always. I am not alone, I am not by myself, there is a Father who is ever with me. These are the words of Jesus, but they are my words too. And will be your words too. Not as an idea, not as a belief, but as a living expression, a knowing, which comes to you when your heart is full of love and your mind is empty of oppositions, of contradictions. The opposites disappear. Contradictions no longer exist. The heart is full of love. Then that which is real expresses itself around you and everywhere you go. Children love you, people love you. All things will work out according to plan. Can there be any other power except the power of the eternal Christ, who is God manifesting in the flesh? We may have an intelligent grasp of the truth, but unless we translate the truth into our daily living, we'll be as ignorant as those who had never heard of it. We'll be like the man who looked into a mirror and saw the reflection of himself and immediately went away and forgot what he was like. The likeness to our Creator is covered up with our possessions, our cravings, our antagonisms. We battle, we struggle with effects unaware of the cause. Yet through understanding our suffering caused by our own misunderstanding will come the wisdom that will guide us to freedom, and in no other way. A belief in God has not made you a bit better, has it? A belief in God is not the truth, I tell you. The world has had a belief in God for centuries. But is it any better by having a belief in God? It's to become more subtle, more cruel, more devastating destructively upon man and his children. A belief in God has become separation between man and man because it's a belief. And because one belief is not in accordance with the other belief, then man begins to fight, antagonistic fighting, and then to blows and so forth. Nationalities and all these things have destroyed the unity of mankind. Fears have been set up everywhere by the ignorant people who do not understand. We will come to know that the only authority is the divine presence that dwells in the inner sanctuary. We'll become aware of false doctrines of the differing beliefs. We will see them as mental images that cause strife and separation throughout the world. We will see their relative nature. We will see that we fail to realize that we are immortal because of our craving for immortality, being caught up in life and death. This is the illusion in the mind that has not realized the ever-present life within. And because of our ignorance, we have been exploited through our belief in death. I will give unto him that is athirst, aware of the fountain of water of life freely. Revelation 21:6. Benediction. O eternal life and love, my inspiration is thine. The vast expanse of thy eternal presence cannot be measured by human mind. Yet my prayers will be the expression of thy presence and thy love and wisdom, my guide. As I know myself, so do I find that I am one with thee.